The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you feel like you're stuck in a rut, you can't be happy. It's time to take back the American dream. Welcome to No Plan B, creating multiple streams of residual income. Your host and guide on this journey is William Speak. Today, William and his guests will show you how to make residual income really work. It doesn't always have to be about working a 60-plus hour work week. Now, here is your host, William Speak.
Good morning. I love that music. It's a good way to fire up your Monday. I'm William Speak. Welcome to No Plan B, creating multiple streams of income. It's a beautiful first day of the week, so thanks for joining with us. If you're up here in the Great White North, we had a nice layer of snow. It looks very festive up for this time of season. I have a powerful show planned for us today and a guest who's not afraid to put it all out there. So I just want to launch right into it. This episode is about relationships and balanced living. So it doesn't matter that we're on the business channel. Without proper relationships going on, we're going to stay stuck. The focus today is more on women, too. And us men can tune in because we can definitely learn a lot from the women in our lives and be able to support them. And we'll talk about how that affects us, too. But let me quickly share a story with you first. Now, it was back in the 1990s when these networking functions were all the rage. All over the place, you had a networking function every day. I was at a small little country church, not far from where I live. And it was a breakfast networking function, dead of winter, in the basement of a church. Now, here's the sun coming up, and we can see out the window the tombstones, and the sun coming up over the tombstones, it's pretty frosty, and the basement was filled with work-at-home moms and people like myself. And actually, the interesting part is the pastor himself was involved in some sort of MLM company at that time. Well, most were about the same. Networking function after networking function was pretty much the same as this. Sometimes it was eggs, sometimes it was wine and cheese. But what it was people, they were talking about themselves, about their business, and they were not listening to other people. They weren't listening to me. And maybe, you know, quite frankly, I wasn't quite listening to them either. Their idea of connecting with me was to be able to sell me something. And that's when I realized that that's not the way to build a powerful relationship. That's a one-way relationship. Joining me on the line today from her home in Kingston, Ontario, along the beautiful Thousand Islands, is Susan Sly. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, William, and good morning to everyone listening in from all over the world. It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, Susan, does that sound familiar? Does that story have any familiarity to you?
Absolutely, and I think diving right in here is to understand that networking has changed, and growing up, I have a similar story. My grandmother started one of the first women's networking groups in Canada along with her best friend because they saw this void. And I remember being this little kid going to these women's networking meetings, and you know, all the women would be getting up and presenting their business. And so much has changed, especially in the last decade and a half, and there are two pinnacle reasons why networking has gone to a different level. And the first one was actually 9/11. And after 9/11, we came back to the human side of networking, where people were taking a little more time to get to know their neighbors, a little more time to get to know one another. Because when we have cataclysmic events like that, people either grow together or they grow apart. And so it changed the world of business. And then on the heels of things like Bernie Madoff and the recession, which was the next big event, people really said, you know what, we're going to go back to this look you in the eye, shaking hands, get to know you. And there have been so many books written on emotional intelligence, and even in Wall Street and Bay Street all over the world, people are studying things like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. They're taking Tony Robbins courses. They're brushing up on their listening skills because the face of business has absolutely changed since those days. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get too far, I want to give you a proper introduction so the people around the world, those who don't know you, will know you pretty soon. Susan Sly is a balanced living expert. She's a successful entrepreneur, author, speaker, millionaire, professor of nutrition, and an empowerment trainer. She's worked with audiences throughout Canada, the United States, Hong Kong, Australia. Her specialty is helping women create lives of fulfillment. I have personally seen Susan on stage myself, and I can tell you she's a very passionate, engaging speaker. She has competed 6 times for Team Canada in track and field, placed top 10 in the Ironman Malaysia. The list goes on. She's competed the Boston Marathon. It's a 4 times now, Susan?
It is. I was actually there this year during the bombing. So, yeah, that was time number 4.
Wow, awesome. And she's the best-selling author of several books. The one that we're going to talk more about today, released just this year, is called The Have It All Woman. Take your life from empowerment to overwhelmed, I should say, to empowerment. Speaking of relationships as well, Susan has 4 children, married to her life partner and best friend, Chris Archibald. Welcome, Susan. It's a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thanks again, William, and it's so great to be here. And you know, I love the work you're doing because of this paradigm shift we're realizing where the things we've been told growing up, you know, get a job and go to school. And, you know, my husband and I were on that 40-40-40 plan ourselves, you know, and, you know, you work for 40 years on this average of $40,000 a year, and, you know, you get the $40 watch at the end. I mean, maybe it's like the 50-50-50 plan now, but, you know, I love this work you're doing with No Plan B because we have to start to look at things differently because life has changed so much. And so thank you for all the work you're doing.
It definitely has changed, and thank you. Definitely changed so much. And when I realized that most business shows address people that are working, people that are doing the conventional 40-40, as you said, and my wife and I have done that, and we've discovered that that's not the way to go. We've been laid off so many times, it's like, oh, God, we got to do our own thing now. And so, therefore, finding multiple streams of income, regardless of what you do for a living, is, it's exactly what the people need. Now, in your book, The Have It All Woman, you start by talking about your favorite book was The Ugly Duckling. Can you take us back there and tell us a little bit about what life was like for you as a child?
Sure. You know, it's interesting because if we look at the divorce rates currently, it's about 46% of first-time marriages, and then once you go into second-time marriages, it's 60%, and third-time marriages, 70%. And I have to laugh. I was at Larry King's house last year. And I think Larry's on his 7th marriage. And he said to me, he's like, you know, Susan, I've had the same best man for every marriage. And he's married to a sweetheart, Sean. She's a beautiful lady. And I don't know what the divorce rate is once you go beyond 3, but good luck to Sean and Larry. So I was the product of a divorce. And my parents split up when I was 3 years old. And it was a very aggressive, tumultuous divorce. My mother had kidnapped me. And my dad had a nationwide search warrant looking for me. You know, it was bad. And I was this kid that kind of felt like, you know, just this byproduct of these two people who couldn't get along and get it together. And as a result of this childhood, a whole series of events happened. My mother struggled with mental illness. She used to go to work when I was 4 and leave me alone. And it was the early 70s. And you know, back then it was construed that the mother was always the better parent. And the reality is the mother always gained custody. And so my mom had custody of me, and we're living on the East Coast of Canada, and off she'd go 7 at night to work. And I, you know, being 4, terrified out of my mind. And, you know, I'd go to the fridge and I'd get all this food and I'd take it in the closet and just gorge myself and get my teddy bear and cry all night. I was terrified. I became a super overweight kid. I was a latchkey kid. I was bullied and beaten up at school. And by the time I got to go live with my dad in small town rural Ontario, I was grossly overweight. I was also an ethnic kid in a predominantly homogenous a town, and it was confusing to people. Here's this, you know, fat, dark-skinned kid who lives with her dad, and how do you fit that all together, especially in the 1970s? So I never felt like I fit in, and the first time I was read the book, The Ugly Duckling, which was at school, I thought, oh my gosh, that's me. And am I ever going to be this swan? But I could relate so much to this outcast. And I think what I would love for the listeners to garner is that our past can either refine us or define us. And for years I struggled. I looked in the mirror. I hated myself. I was, you know, now we see almost 1 in 3 kids in North America, Australia are overweight. However, back then it was, you know, I was the fat kid of the school and my nickname was Bubba Sue and, you know, the bullying and everything else. And I'd go home and I just punch myself in the stomach until I would leave marks. And I remember even my first thought of suicide was when I was 8 years old. I still have my diaries from then. And looking back now, I have tremendous respect for people who have been abused. And, you know, that's a whole other area that we work with, especially with women. 3 out of 5 American women have been sexually and physically abused. We look at, you know, these childhoods and it can go either way. You know, I could have gone the way of victim and been this person who felt sorry for myself and continued down that path. But at a very early age, 11 years old, I decided that I was going to change my destiny. And so I'm very grateful for all of those refining years. There's no question.
What was the big catalyst for change?
It was actually television, believe that or not. I was watching the Olympics and I saw the runners and these women were just, oh my gosh, you know, they're gliding around the track. I think it was the 5,000 meters. And, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I want a body like that. And you have to understand too, you know, back in those days we had Canada Fitness test. And it was the most humiliating thing because there was no real differentiation for what boys and girls had to do. So I couldn't do a chin up. I couldn't throw a ball. I couldn't do a push up. I couldn't do a sit up. And no one wanted me on their team. It was, you know, whatever, softball, anything. I was like, oh, we don't want Susan on our team because she's so fat and can't do anything. And so it was a build up, right? We were doing this. Everyone had to do cross country and I was the last of the race and I was struggling up this hill. And so, you know, I'm watching the Olympics and I'm like, oh, you know, that's what I want. And so I got up, I was 11 and I got up at about 5:30 in the morning and I went out running and I just said, you know, I'm going to do this. And, the first time I ran, it was hard, William. Oh my gosh. There was an art center in our town and round trip to the art center. It was probably like maybe 3/4 of a mile, maybe a mile at the most. And I couldn't, you know, keep going for even 2 minutes. So I set my intention that it was going to be the art center. And finally I made it to the art center. And then like Forrest Gump, I kept on running and I'm 41 now. And I've been running ever since. And the funny thing is I have friends and they're like, oh, you're going to get injured or you're not going to be running forever. And it's that thing that's so liberating for me. And I turned my eating around and I got healthy. And it wasn't to say that over the course of time, I wasn't going to have more ups and downs. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I actually ballooned up to 200 pounds. I was a women's size 18X. And so I would still go up and down, but that was that defining moment for me at 11 where I said, you know what, no more. I'm not going to take this anymore.
We're going to have to take a quick commercial break. We are going to come back and listen to a lot more of Susan. So you're listening to No Plan B, creating multiple streams of income. Coming up after the break, she's going to talk to us a lot more about obstacles holding people back. But before you go, if you have any questions or comments for Susan now or after the show, please email me, noplanb@williamspeak.com. That's speak with an E. S as in Sam, P as in Peter, EAKE, or on Twitter at WSpeak. You can call us online and we'll try to get you talking with Susan. It's 866-472-5790. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We're all always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you dream about owning your own business? Do you feel you have more to offer but just don't know how to get started? Are you passionate about life, helping others, and committed to taking your health to the next level? Come join our team. We offer solutions to transform lives in weight loss, energy, and performance. Discover how thousands of people have already transformed their lives. We will teach you everything you need to be successful in your own business. For more information, please visit stepintoliving.com or call 416-578-4485.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to No Plan B with William Speak. To reach the program today, please call us at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to noplanb@williamspeak.com. Now, back to the program.
That's a lot better. My guest on the show today is Susan Slide, business leader and trainer. We've been talking to her about her latest book, and we just had a very brief introduction to Susan. It's called The Have It All Women. If you have any questions, please call us here at the show. Susan, the first chapter of your book is called Simply Decide. Is it really that easy?
I think deciding is one of the hardest things that for anyone, because people waver. You know, I was just at an event in Las Vegas where I was speaking in front of 5,000 entrepreneurs, and the decision, you know, to really commit. And we're not talking about a glib decision. I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to, you know, start a home-based business or whatever I'm going to do. And then the next day you're out of that. It's that real commitment, that decision where you know that you know that you know, and there's no turning back. And it's complex, but once you make the decision, here's the reality. We teach the world how to treat us. And I see, especially for women, they're operating with a high degree of overwhelm. And in fact, Forbes magazine did a poll of 3,000 women and found that 89% of stay-at-home moms, 92% of moms who, you know, are in the workforce feel overwhelmed. And then the APA is showing anxieties on the rise and so on. So I think our inability to decide is fueled as well by the whole coterie of decisions that we have. I mean, you go to television, there's whatever, 2,000 channels. There's, you know, no end of decisions to be made in a day. But to make the decision that is actually going to alter the course of our life, whether it's getting healthy or creating more income or really grounding ourselves in a relationship, maybe forging through a tough patch in a marriage, that decision where you dig your feet in. I mean, that's the what epic movies are made of, that one pinnacle decision. It's not easy, but it is the first step.
First step. What are some of the other common obstacles we have to overcome in our lives?
We are our own biggest common obstacle. you know, it's the reality is very few people are operating as the CEO of their own life. And, you know, they're walking around waiting. I call it, especially women, WKS, white knight syndrome. They're waiting to be rescued. And they're operating in this victimhood and saying, oh, you know, poor me, or, you know, my parents were fishing at the shallow end of the genetic gene pool. And the reality is that, you know, you know, my mom's fat, my dad's fat, I'm going to be fat, or everyone in our family didn't go to college, so, you know, I'm not going to college, or, you know, whatever. And it's this mass victimness that keeps us stuck. because we're wanting someone else to make the decisions. And frankly, a lot of women are so exhausted out there. They're just hoping and praying, and I know I've been there, that someone else will make the decisions for them. I mean, even by the, you know, you're getting to night and going, oh my gosh, what am I making for the kids' lunches? What am I going to wear tomorrow? You know, blah, 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 blah. And so being the CEO of our own life means we suddenly have to take radical responsibility. And then from there, and we know that if it's meant to be, it's up to me, that changes everything. Because then you literally take your excuses and your nonsense, and Wayne Dyer, who I've gotten to know, is an amazing person, he calls your mind viruses. You take that out of the equation when you literally step into that.
Yeah, Wayne Dyer, one of my favorite authors. I love that a lot. That's a very powerful moment, because you no longer have a blame list. You no longer have somebody else who's responsible for your own happiness. You take charge for it yourself. Now, in your book, you also have a whole chapter on health and diet. Now, I understand that's particularly important for women. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
For sure. I mean, I think from my own experience with obesity and ill health, and I was diagnosed with progressive MS in 2000, and I remember going into that whole time, there were a lot of things cropping up in my life, but I chose to suppress them. So I was getting fatigued easily, and I thought, oh, you know, it's okay. I'll just push through. You know, I'll have more caffeine or whatever. I was starting to drop things, and I thought, oh, you know, I'm just tired. And I was, you know, having trouble speaking at times. It felt like there was peanut butter in my mouth, and I thought, okay. But then I finally just got to the point, and I said, Susan, if you were your own client, what would you tell them right now? And I'd say, well, go to the doctor. And I went into the doctor, and the doctor said, you're distressed. Go on vacation. And I went on vacation, and I came back feeling worse. And so fortunately, my doctor was actually one of my clients, and I had many physicians who were my clients. And I said, look, I want some tests. And he said, okay, I'll entertain your tests, whatever. And on January 13th of 2000, I was diagnosed with progressive MS. And when they looked at the scan, they said, we haven't seen a case this bad. And in fact, with the severity of your degree of MS, it's very likely you are going to be in a wheelchair in 10 years and you are going to be dead in 20. And I was 27 at the time. And, you know, after that, I had been married, my marriage fell apart, I lost my business, you know, a whole series of things happened. And I think sometimes to value health, you have to lose your health. And I have friends who have survived stage 3 and stage 4 cancer. I have friends who have come through the other side of things like fibromyalgia and all sorts of things. And I think when you go through those things, it really gives you a different appreciation of health, or if you've watched a loved one go through it. And I became passionate about health early on from the place of not having health, and that passion has continued for decades. And if we look at the average woman, and I do continue to work with a lot of physicians, here's what's going on for the average woman. And please, respectfully to the listeners today, there are women at either of these extremes, but I'm just going to sort of go in the median. The average woman right now is statistically sleeping about just over between 6 and 7 hours a night. She's staying up late. Her body's not secreting enough growth hormone because she's not getting in bed by 10 o'clock. A lot of women have screens in their bedroom, which has been clinically shown, whether it's your mobile or your iPad or whatever, your laptop, to really affect our REM sleep. The average woman is waking up usually between 2 and 4 in the morning. Her cortisol levels are high. She's her to-do list is a mile long. She's waking up groggy. She's caffeinating. And her cortisol levels are rising so much by mid-afternoon that that's when she's craving sugar, carbohydrates, more caffeine. The adrenals are overloaded. She's gaining weight. Why do you think, you know, we have over 60% of women in North America are overweight right now, yet they're exercising more than ever? I mean, so you've got the hormones are out of balance, and when a woman's hormones are out of balance, you can take the most competent, educated woman, and she's a mess, right? And I think the thing with Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, that I loved was, let's start to talk about it. Let's stop repressing it and trying to fight through. And just because you're having the dialogue doesn't mean you're in victim mode. If you're feeling anything less than energized, focused, competent, capable, then something is out of balance. And the reality is, a lot of that can be mitigated with diet, exercise, the proper exercise. If a woman's adrenals are really overloaded, I always have recommended, you know, that's not the time you go do more spinning. You want to do like hatha yoga. You want to meditate, because you can't do anything that's going to fire the adrenals even more. You know, getting enough water. I mean, these simple things, they seem so simple. You know, Jeff Olson's book, The Slight Edge, he talks about the things that are easiest to do are the things that make the biggest impact, but those things that people don't do, right? And so for women, I see a tremendous challenge, because it's not getting better. And statistically, it's not on the horizon. You know, recently in Canada, it came out that lung cancer is now killing more women than all the top five cancers combined. In the United States, heart disease kills more women than the top five cancers combined. And you look at this and go, things are not getting better. And we either have to, as a group of women, make some definitive changes, because our old fallback technique of just pushing through, soldiering on, it isn't working, William. It's just not working. And when a woman is out of balance, it affects her ability to be a great partner, a great lover. It affects her ability to be a great mother, a great person in her workforce or workplace or as a business owner. And so we've got to keep the dialogue going, and we've really got to know that, you know, in my work for Have It All Women, health is the base of the pyramid, that if you're not taking care of your health, it's not a matter of if it will catch up to you, it's just a matter of when. And a friend of mine said to me, I thought this was brilliant, you can either pay for your health now in small increments, you know, taking multivitamins and making sure you're getting great nutrition and exercise, so investing a small amount monthly, or you can pay for it when you have a major event. And I don't care if you're in Canada with subsidized healthcare or Australia or wherever you are, you're still going to pay for it, because the reality is, even in Canada, there's a two-tier system, and you don't want to spend years of your life in illness. You want to have the money to be able to pay for that, and that's where the work you're doing comes in too.
Yeah, we have another minute or so before the break, but we were talking a little bit before the show, and you said if there's a woman out of balance, it sends everything else around us out of balance. Do you have a quick comment on that?
Absolutely. I mean, women really and truly are the epicenter of, you know, our day-to-day existence for every single one of us. And during the recession, when I was quoted in Forbes magazine online, it was because companies were laying off more men than women, because they knew that if they laid off the women were the ones that kept the balance in the office. They are the ones who organized the Christmas parties and made sure everyone was feeling happy and so on. And so women have tremendous value, and the moment we start seeing it, everything changes.
Wow, that's absolutely true. And we can find that many times in our own lives, in the women in our lives, people around us. We are going to take a quick commercial break right now. When we come back, we're going to get into the meat of relationships. My guest is Susan Sly. We're going to talk about what works, what doesn't work. That is coming right up. For more information about today's show and upcoming shows and upcoming guests, be sure to visit my website at williamspeak.com. That's speak with an E. Like us on Facebook, that's William R. Speak. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you dream about owning your own business? Do you feel you have more to offer but just don't know how to get started? Are you passionate about life, helping others, and committed to taking your health to the next level? Come join our team. We offer solutions to transform lives in weight loss, energy, and performance. Discover how thousands of people have already transformed their lives. We will teach you everything you need to be successful in your own business. For more information, please visit stepintoliving.com or call 416-578-4485.
whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to No Plan B with William Speak. To reach the program today, please call us at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to noplanb@williamspeak.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. We were just talking to Susan Sly about overcoming all the objects, obstacles, etc., that hold us back. I want to get into relationships in just a second, but there was one further question from that came up from the last segment that I wanted to address, is the importance of forgiveness. Now, I read a lot of Wayne Dyer, and in your book, you also talk about how forgiveness is an important part of clearing in order to move forward. Could you comment, expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely, William. You know, when we're holding around resentment and judgment and disappointment, the root of all anger is disappointment. Oprah once said that. I thought that was so profound. It's like a cancer to our soul. And forgiveness is important to be able to say, you know what, I forgive you. And at those deepest levels of forgiveness, I mean, I've worked with people and we're talking about forgiving someone who's abused them or forgiving someone who's been unfaithful. And it's hard. Now, at a higher level of that, and we look at, say, some of the work that's done through different programs, whether it's Tony Robbins or Landmark or the different things that are out there, at a higher level of that is gratitude. And if we can accept that we are here for a reason, and we can accept that we all have a purpose, which I believe we do. And if you listen to Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, or any of the great teachers out there, that when we understand this, then we also must understand that in order for us to be the champion of our own life and to really assist others, that we are going to have to go through some things and to be able to stand in gratitude and go, you know what, wow, you know, thank you, Mom, for leaving me alone because it allowed me to know that I can take care of myself, and thank you, I am beyond forgiving. I'm so grateful, you know, or to be able to say, gosh, I am so grateful that I was heavy as a kid or as a young adult, I was obese, because when I'm working with someone who's overweight, I can empathize. You see, that level of gratitude is where our true power is. And, you know, when I know people listening to this going, Susan, you know, you don't know, you really don't know what I've been through. And what I would say to you is no. You know, the answer to that is true. I don't know what you've been through, but I do know that it is possible, that anything is possible. You can absolutely stand in that level of forgiveness. And I love, oh my gosh, the book Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're struggling with it, you know, that's a great book. In The Have It All Woman, we have a gratitude process, which is incredible to go through. And I've taken so many women and men through that process. And inherently, the moment they come through it, things begin to change in their lives, William. You know, clients and customers show up. We see relationships get better. And, you know, it's something I'm even teaching my children. It's work my husband Chris and I have done on different things. And it's so powerful.
Yeah, gratitude and forgiveness. Never would have put those two together, but now that I look at it, yeah, they do make sense. You forgive and then you're grateful for the lesson that came to you. Mm-hmm. And do you find that gratitude comes first, then everything else flows behind it, or is it like everything flows and then you're grateful for it?
Gratitude is this high level. I mean, it's the highest level, and if you look at great teachings out there, whether it's Christianity or Kabbalah or Buddhism, you know, it to reach this place of bliss and joy and enlightenment is to see that, you know, our challenges – are really there to assist us in becoming the best people we can be. And, you know, I can think of one person in particular I took through this process who her child had died and in a terrible accident, you know, just a little baby. And to go through this, talk about pain. And yet, I won't even say that today, even she's at the place where she's in total gratitude yet, but the more she chips away at it, the more her life begins to turn around. And I think, you know, to look at one's life and go, gosh, you know, that really hurt. That was really painful. And I can't, Susan, today, I can't be grateful for that yet, but you can have different degrees of gratitude. And just my advice would be start chipping away at that, because you don't want that to be poisoning your soul for the rest of your time on this earth. You know, you want to release it, you want to let it go, and you want to move on.
Yes. Now, you spend an entire chapter on faith, religion. I'm not familiar myself with using religion in my own life to help me through the day, but can you tell me about God and using religion as a source of strength in your life?
For sure. And you know, anytime one speaks about religion, it's contentious. And let's just talk about God. You know, I grew up in a Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, you know, background, and my mother had, you know, dabbled in many forms of Christianity, and including, you know, the Mormon church and so on. So I've had this beautiful exposure to so many different religions. And it's interesting because if people, you know, it's been said many times that, you know, God is God and religion is of man, right? So in the book, what I talk about is in building this foundation. And if we look at the research out there, that people who believe in some form of the divine, a higher power, God, they have a better life. And we've actually seen, even with cancer rates, that people who have faith are more likely to come through cancer, if you can believe that or not. So what I say in the book is that in the morning, especially, just taking time, whether it's, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to just pray. And Joel Osteen says, I love this, it's that when we're praying, we're talking to God, but when we're meditating, we're listening. So this prayer and meditation, and then circling back to what we were talking about with regard to women and cortisol, and, you know, study after study showing that, you know, people who do some form of prayer and meditation are able to keep their stress levels at bay without using alcohol or recreational drugs or, you know, some other form of sedative or what have you. It's that they're able to do it with the mind, right? So I think it's so important. And you know, in our own household, teaching our kids pray, but teaching them as well how to meditate to get through those trying times, I think is one of the greatest gifts, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a parent, to be able to do. And that's why my work really centers around, you know, if you hit up my website and you're going, well, okay, what is she really doing? It's all about balanced life. And to have balance, you know, yes, we pray and meditate, we do affirmations, we get organized, you know, that all of it is going to help your life become more balanced.
Yeah, sometimes women find it easier to encourage others, I find, than to get their own act together. So how would you advise someone who's always like the cheerleader counselor in her family, but can't seem to find enough time in their life to reflect on their own life and make their own changes? How can she unplug that part of her character?
Yeah, there are different, you know, if we look at the personality types, it's interesting because there are women who are just constantly helping and helping and helping. And one of the things I say is you can't give from a well that is empty. So, you know, I'm pretty clear in the book to say that people are watching what we're doing more so than what we're saying. So if you're a woman and you know you're not your healthy weight, your health isn't in the greatest shape, but you're telling your daughter not to eat something, she's looking at you going, you're a fraud, you're an imposter. And I think we want to be that person, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, that whatever we're asking someone to do, that we're doing it ourselves, or we're out of integrity, right? And people, integrity in this era, you know, has become even more important than it ever has been because of how many events we've had, major events in our recent history that have been because of lack of integrity. You know, again, the Bernie Madoff issue, or, you know, we can have, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Just turn on CNN in the morning, you can see it. And so integrity is rising to the forefront, and people are looking at people and saying, are you really doing it? You know, the physician who smokes the pack of cigarettes and is 50 pounds overweight and telling their patient to lose weight, that doesn't fly anymore in 2013 and 2014. It just doesn't. So the thing I would say to that woman is, number one, you know, with love, you're out of integrity. And number two, if your words meant nothing, which they don't, but it was totally your actions, what example are you leading for the other women in your life and your children and the people you care about? That's the question I would have.
No, that does make a lot of sense. Actions do speak louder than words. Susan, what relationship do you believe in your life has propelled you the farthest in terms of being a have-it-all woman?
Oh gosh. Well, I would say for me, it's definitely my relationship with God, and this isn't a religious thing. It's just, you know, through all the things that have happened in my life, and again, very candidly, the, you know, child abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, whatever, that's been the one constant. And so I feel deeply grateful. And, you know, it's to be able to say at the end of the day, I'm going to choose to see myself as God sees me. You know, I have flaws. I'm not perfect. Oh my gosh, you know. but it's that relationship. That's how I start and finish my day. And, you know, that's just for me. It's that belief and that faith that what I'm going through isn't necessarily what I'm going to, you know. So if we take a look at some of the challenges we're having a bad day or whatever, I have to believe that, you know, with faith and knowing that I'm going to come out the other side. Our relationships are really, you know, it's interesting, because if I look at any person that I'm working with, one of the things that I read, which I thought was quite interesting, was on average, William, there was a study that was done, and, you know, believe me, people study anything, that on average, only 4 people will cry at a person's funeral. And so when I read that, I thought, gosh, if you're not one of the 4 that's going to cry at my funeral, you're not in my inner circle. And I call this TUA, total unconditional acceptance. And so, you know, we look at our relationships, and if we have people in our lives who are sucking the energy out of us and they're not supportive and they're gossipy and negative and stuff, why are they earning a place in your life? Time is the only commodity we all share. You know, we have the same amount of time as Oprah or Tony Robbins or Warren Buffett or Wayne Dyer or Bill Gates, anyone. But, you know, people I've met some very, very successful people. The thing is that the more successful someone is, it's because they're valuing their time at a higher level. And the people that I know who are, say, worth, you know, hundreds of millions, or, you know, so I know some people are worth billions, they value their time. And I've seen that they've cut away all the negative people from their lives. And I think it's hard to do, but it's necessary to do, because every time we're physically with someone, we're exchanging atoms. And I believe the number is 20,000 atoms a second. So when you're around someone negative, when you're around someone toxic, you're actually internalizing some of their atoms. And that is you're going to feel it emotionally, you know, and whether you look to the world of quantum physics or whatever it is, we take on people's quote unquote stuff, and life is much too precious to be taking on all of that negativity and toxicity. So I would say to anyone listening, especially this time of year, look at your relationships, and going into 2014, who do you want to develop juicier relationships with, and who is someone that you want to, say, limit your exposure or set some boundaries with?
Thank you. We're going to have to pause for a quick break. I know who I'm putting on my coming to my funeral list now. So coming up after the break, Susan Salai, we're going to put a bunch together for us, send you with a success plan to take away. I hope you have lots of notes like I do. Be sure to visit my website, williamspeak.com, for more information. Coming up after the break, more Susan Salai. Stay tuned.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you dream about owning your own business? Do you feel you have more to offer but just don't know how to get started? Are you passionate about life, helping others, and committed to taking your health to the next level? Come join our team. We offer solutions to transform lives in weight loss, energy, and performance. Discover how thousands of people have already transformed their lives. We will teach you everything you need to be successful in your own business. For more information, please visit stepintoliving.com or call 416-578-4485.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to No Plan B with William Speak. To reach the program today, please call us at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to noplanb@williamspeak.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the final few minutes of the show of No Plan B. My guest today is Susan Sly. Before the break, we were talking about creating powerful relationships. We've been talking as well about Susan's latest book, is The Have It All Women. Susan, I want to thank you for writing it, by the way. It's a very personal book, and it does say Have It All Women. I do recommend any men to read it too, because there's women in our lives, and there's a lot of stuff that we can gain from it as well. But I also want to find out, was it the purpose of writing the book a healing for you, or was it a way to show other people that they weren't alone? Can you explore a little bit about your purpose for writing it?
That's a great question. You know, a few years ago, also going back almost 10 years ago, a great friend of mine, Jeff Combs, who's known as a industry trainer and coach, he said to me, Susan, there's a difference between vulnerability and weakness. And I had always thought, William, that to be vulnerable meant you were weak. But a few things were a catalyst for writing the book. And the first one was that I had to learn how to let my armor down, right? And I have even had careers where it was very important for me to, stay strong, be emotionless, and so on. I think we all have. And growing up in a childhood where eventually I got to go live with my grandmother, who was of Chinese descent. And, there's a Chinese saying about stuffing your emotions down. You just, you shouldn't let anyone see that mask, what's behind the mask. So when I decided that I could be vulnerable and strong and vulnerable and prosperous and successful, that was the first thing. The second thing was women kept coming up and asking me, okay, well, how are you making all this money and how have you, gone and really transcended this MS diagnosis and, living beyond what they told you was going to happen. I'm not supposed to be running marathons, now it's crazy. And because they kept asking me these how questions, and I was thinking, is there some evidence to support that there's a linear progression of steps that one can do to get out of this overwhelmed state that a lot of women are in? And I began to take a look at the journeys of other women, J.K. Rowling and Oprah, and the list goes on and on. And I realized that we were all kind of doing the same things. And I thought, in congruence with this whole notion of being vulnerable, that I would weave my story into these steps. And that's why I use the stories in the book of, say, Immaculée as an example, the woman whose family was slaughtered in the Rwandan genocide and hid in the bathroom, using these different stories of women who've come out the other side of some of the most, horrific events, right? So I think if we, look at the book, some women from the outside might say, well, women can't have it all. And there was a very famous article written in The Atlantic about that. But, I wholeheartedly, lovingly disagree. It's going to depend on how we define it. And if the book, which it has, helps women at least get out of that quagmire of overwhelm to a certain degree, then, you know, I think it's worthwhile.
Well, and what do you find yourself to be most grateful for right now, right this moment?
Oh, gosh. You know.
Big question, I know.
Every day before I go to bed, I write 10 items of gratitude because I always want to maintain my perspective. And there's a saying I love in the national newspaper and the Globe and Mail. They have these quotes. And so many years ago, oh, gosh, it's got to be like 15, 16 years ago, there was one that said, when the things you now complain about are the things you used to dream about, you know you've become successful. And so what I cut that out and I put it in this journal that I have. And I think, you know, when I'm tempted to complain, I think, am I complaining about something I used to dream about? Right. You know, so I'm grateful for a lot. You know, right now I have to tell you I'm grateful to be home. I'm, you know, home for the holidays. There's been a lot of travel. I have a lot of travel coming up in the new year. I've, heading to Dallas, and then I have a speaking event in Indonesia, and then I'm heading back to Vietnam and Cambodia to do some more work with liberating girls from child trafficking. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on, but I'm grateful to be home. It's huge.
And often it's those little things.
Yeah.
Coming up on our show next week, we're going to be talking to a millennial entrepreneur. Now, Susan, can you tell me, do you think that there's any generation of women that have had it easier than other generations?
No. I think the stimuli are different. And I think if we look at, you know, where women have come from, we're still not making dollar for dollar what a man makes. And the CEOs of companies, you know, Marissa Mayer is really pushing boundaries. I mean, she had a baby. She was, you know, took a week off and she received all this criticism. Marissa Mayer over at Yahoo. So we're, you know, I don't think any generation has it easier. And in fact, I would say right now, the demands on women are even higher than they ever have been. You know, I was just sharing the stage with Gary Vaynerchuk, who wrote Crush It. You know him as the wine guy. He's got his new book out. And, you know, one of the things Gary was talking about is now we have to dedicate a certain amount of time every day to social media as entrepreneurs. And you know, then there's the social media, and then there's also, like, this idea of what the perfect woman, quote unquote, looks like. And then on top of it, you know, there's a lot of dis-ease happening. And, you know, my daughter, Avery, one of her best friends, Mackenzie, 16 years old, started with what appeared to be a cold and flu and, you know, diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. She's at Sick Kids right now. She just came through a bone marrow transplant. I mean, I think it's harder. You know, what are 16-year-olds doing having to deal with that stuff? So I think more than anything, this particular time, even though how women are seen has not yet changed, you know, yes, Canada had a woman female prime minister for a heartbeat, and America still has yet to have one. I think how women are seen is changing, but I would say with the amount of stimuli that women have now and the perceived stresses that we have, I'm not going to say it's easier now than any other time.
I recommend everybody reads this book, men or women. How can somebody get a hold of it?
It's super easy on Amazon.com. You know, in pockets of my life, I'm in the studio doing the audiobook, and I know everyone's saying, I want the audiobook because we love audiobooks, but you can get it for Kindle. You can get it on iTunes for your iPad. You know, you can order the actual book, and, you know, I'd love to keep the conversation going with women, you know, just in terms of how they are working toward this have it all life, because again, the moment you define it for yourself and you let go of anyone else's definition, and it only really comes down to three key tenets, I mean, that changes everything.
That's very, very powerful. The book is called The Have It All Women, Take Your Life from Overwhelmed to Empowered. Susan, I want to thank you today for doing this. It has been a pleasure and a privilege talking to you today.
Oh, thank you so much, William, for having me. And, you know, to everyone listening, I just wish you the greatest success and abundance in your life. And keep tuning in, because, William, this material is fantastic.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And that's our show for today. Tune in next week, No Plan B. The episode is called The Millennial Entrepreneur, Debt-Free on Graduation. And my guest will be Mickey Agrawal. She is a social entrepreneur, a successful restaurateur, a new author, brand new author, speaker, a former soccer player. She was named to Forbes Top 20 Millennials on a Mission in 2013. We're going to be talking about her book entitled Do Cool Shit. Have a look at that book before next week because it's definitely worth the read. You're invited to join me again next Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, for another episode of No Plan B, Creating Multiple Streams of Income. I'm your host, William Speak. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in this week. No Plan B can be heard again next Monday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. William Speak personally invites you to join him for another show that will help you make money the fun way.